Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-706-6897. 800-706-6897. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisment. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Dale's Pet World.
Hello. Welcome to meeting me.
Steve is a certified animal behavior consultant. And he's here to help you.
Why, that's messed up.
You're so wise.
Just me by my size, do you?
Like a miniature Buddha.
Am I a hero?
Call right now, 866-554-PETS.
I really can't say, but yes.
People like me.
That's right. Call toll-free, 866-554-7387.
Oh, you're a pretty little kitty, aren't you?
So you have a new puppy, and hooray, you know, this is exciting, but one of two things are possible. One is you've never had a puppy before, and you're thinking, oh my God, do puppies really do all this? Or it's been a long time since you've had a puppy and have forgotten what puppies do and what they can get into and the havoc they can wreak. Havoc they can wreak? Well, does that make sense? Well, if it does, you know what I'm talking about. So what I do is I have six tips for all of you who may be getting a new puppy. Now, how many of you travel on the airplane just even once a year, let alone two or three or four times a year? You are more likely than ever before to see in an airport a dog with a vest on that says, I'm a service dog, and therefore the dog could say, I'm allowed to be on that airplane. In of itself, that is a great thing. The problem with all of that is that people seem to be abusing the system. That's my opinion anyway, and we'll talk to an expert about that topic. But most of all, your telephone calls. Havoc? Wreak havoc? Is that what I said before? I think that makes sense. Most of all, your telephone calls. 866-554-PETS. 866-554-7387. Stacy, you have called into the radio show, so you hear me say this. Hello, you're on the radio. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. What's happening?
Oh, not much. I've got a water rainer with a bladder issue.
Tell me what's going on.
Well, she's a rescue, and but when she lays down and, like, relaxes, she has urine that leaks out.
Hmm.
And I give her a medication called, I think it's called Prolin or Prilin.
Right, Prilin.
That's the only thing I know to do for her other than extensive surgery that I can't afford.
Yeah. How old is your dog?
She's a rescue, like I said. I believe she's probably about 5.
Okay. I ask because if we were talking about an elderly dog, the answer might be somewhat different. But so she's about 5 years old, give or take. Is this related to, does this only happen under certain circumstances, or does it happen pretty much randomly whenever she relaxes?
Pretty much randomly when she relaxes, if she's not on her medication.
And the medication does the trick?
Yes. But I just didn't know if there was something else I could do other than medicate her all the time.
What did the veterinarian say is the explanation for this?
The female dog being spayed, that it was not uncommon in dogs like her.
Well, what does he mean, like, dogs like her? It is, do you know what he meant by that, or she meant by that?
No, okay. That was a little...
Okay, so if a dog liked her is implying Weimaraners are more prone to this problem. I guess it's possible, but I've not heard of that. What is probable is that the veterinarian that did the spay didn't do it quite right, or that there's another medical condition going on. In any case, it's just kind of like a drip of urine?
No, it's a puddle.
Okay. So there are diapers for dogs. That is a possibility. There are other drugs you could try, too, but there'd be no point if this drug is working. So I would say, and I still don't know enough because there's not enough of an explanation here, but based on what you've told me, I'd say, no, there isn't anything else you can do, and if the drug works, go for it. The only alternative I can think of would be to get another opinion from an internal medicine specialist and see what that person tells you. I don't know that that would be a bad thing. You're paying for the visit, yes, but you'd certainly get a specialist who does this sort of thing and may look at it a bit differently than a practicing veterinarian in standard veterinary practice. But it sounds like you're being told everything that's right. But I would, if it were my dog, I'd probably get another opinion.
All right. Well, I will do that. I appreciate your help.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Our telephone number is 866-554-PETS. I am about to tell you about my Facebook fan page. If you are not there, you need to be there. Of course, it's on Facebook. Just type in under Pages. It's a fan page. Under Pages, just type in my name, Steve Dale, and you'll see a caricature of me on the radio. And then like the page. That's all I ask. Coming up next, 6 tips that all people with new puppies need to know.
Your calls are always welcome on Steve Dale's Pet World. Dial us up at 866-554-PETS.
It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry, a new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait, vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
If you've got pets, he's got answers. If you've got a problem that's lasted over 4 hours, you're calling the wrong show. Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
I made a list. I like making lists. This one is what all new puppy owners ought to understand. 6 things that you need to do, or your friends or relatives who have a new puppy. So they're not in any particular order except 1, early socialization. There have been now many studies that indicate that while dogs can have temperament issues for several different reasons, including genetics, very high on that list, in fact, 1, is you didn't socialize your dog appropriately. So we need, I cannot stress enough how important it is to socialize a puppy at a very young age. So puppies go through these various periods that have been defined by experts that I'm not going to go through now. But the primary socialization periods are between about 3 weeks or so up to about barely 6 months, depending on the dog, the breed of dog. But nevertheless, it is, no matter what, so important to socialize your dogs. Now, there are 2 things that I'm a fan of. First of all, absolutely have people over. Have a lot of people over of different ages, different backgrounds, different ways they talk. I mean, you want your dog to see and meet everyone from rabbis on roller skates to little kids running all over the place, and make sure the experience is positive. So as that rabbi goes by on his rollerblades, drop some treats for your dog. And when those little kids meet the puppy, no, don't pull on the tail. That's not a positive experience. But they drop treats for the puppy and tell the puppy, oh, you are the cutest puppy in the world. Also, puppy classes. They are important because they expose that puppy to other dogs as well as a variety of people. And understanding dog language is something that dogs are born with, but they also learn. and also understanding you. Communicating from one end of the leash to the other. Opening that window of communication. So it's not learning, sit, stay, down. That's not what I'm worried about so much. It's really about that communication and relationships that puppy classes encourage. Absolutely, that is number one on the list. Some other things, baby gates. Baby gates help control where your dog can go. So little puppies sometimes fall downstairs and can get really hurt. A way to prevent that is the baby gate. You don't want them going in that room that nobody goes into. Not even great-grandma when she comes over. It's the room that's there, but nobody sits on the sofa. Well, that's the room. If the puppy has the opportunity, the puppy will likely have an accident. And the puppy can't have an accident if you're watching the puppy. Or isn't as likely to anyway. The cat box. Little puppies are really fascinated, and they love to snack on what's in that cat box. Again, a baby gate, right? They're not allowed in there, but make sure the cat can get in. So put a chair on one side of that gate, put a chair on the other side, so the cat can navigate over. Toys. Toys? Why would he bring up toys? Well, some toys that are sold really are not appropriate. Latex toys kill dogs. Puppies. Both. I wish they weren't even sold, but they are. So if your dog is actually eating a part of the toy, maybe too young, depending on the puppy, to have one of those plush toys. They look like stuffed animal kind of things, and they have a squeaker. Well, dogs will sometimes ingest all that plush and the squeaker, too, and get very, very sick as a result. So make sure you supervise. Make sure they're the right toys for your dog, and also teach your dog independent play with those toys. So yes, the best thing you can do, it's wonderful to interact with your dog. That's really important to play with your dog. Of course, but you also want to teach your dog how to play on his own or her own, because you're not going to be there all the time. Microchipping. I'm a huge fan. Sometimes though, we forget. So the microchip may come with the dog, or maybe we're going to the veterinarian and we will say, oh, can you microchip our dog? Or the veterinarian, in most cases, then will recommend it. Make sure you register with the microchip provider and that registration is up to date if you did purchase or adopt from a shelter or rescue. Because if it doesn't have your information and your name on there, well, how will the people that find your dog know how to find you? Crate training. Crate training is important for so many reasons. First of all, it can save your dog's life. I mean, if you're not there to supervise, you have a curious little puppy who could electrocute himself or herself on wires. It really does happen. Or eat your shoes, your really expensive shoes, when you're not watching. So crate training, when you're not home, your dog, at a puppy age anyway, should be in a crate. It also helps with house training. And one of the explanations for giving up dogs, I can't housebreak my dog. Well, a crate can actually help make that happen and make that happen faster if you are fair. The crate should not be too large, otherwise your dog is a giant condo. Should not be too small. Your veterinarian or a dog trainer can give you more information about how to teach your dog to habituate and even like the crate. It can be a good place for your dog to go. Feeding. Yes, I know we all feed our dogs, and talk to your veterinarian about the right pet food for your dog. But I am a huge fan of the way in which we feed our dog, and I'm saying it's wrong. Bowls, just feed them in bowls, not a good thing, and there are reasons for that. Instead, toys, puzzle toys, so the dog can think, and dogs actually prefer that. And there are studies that indicate animals in general prefer to work for their food. And finally, veterinary visits. Look for a veterinarian that is certified as fear-free. That doesn't mean your veterinarian's not afraid of anything. It means that your veterinarian is working very hard and is certified, actually, to lower fear, anxiety, and stress at veterinary visits, but you can play your part too. So you have this very malleable young puppy. Go to the veterinarian even before the first visit just to say hi. And I can assure you, the staff will pet your dog, will say you have the cutest dog on the planet, and will give your little puppy treats. All of that will make for a positive association with the veterinary visit rather than the dog hitting the brakes as soon as you get the dog out of the car, and the dog realizes, uh-oh, look where I am, and is terrified, is salivating and barking in the waiting area. You don't want any of that. You don't want to stress. It doesn't need to be that way. And one way to solve the problem or prevent the problem from happening is just from positive association in the first place. Also, ask your veterinarian about the fecal antigen test. Little puppies have worms. Veterinarians can do something about it, but not if they don't know they are there. Also about appropriate heartworm protection, flea and tick prevention, and vaccines. And that may, these days, include the dog flu vaccine and a vaccine for leptospirosis. Ask about that also. Coming up next, the conversation with Dr. Aubrey Fine about what the heck is going on here with all these dogs on airplanes and other animals, too. And also, what do these terms mean? What's the difference between a service dog and a comfort dog? And what are the legal differences? And where do animal-assisted therapy dogs fall into all of that? He will explain next.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Steve Dale's Pet World. A real pet expert giving advice about real pets. Yeah, we're keeping it real.
Dr. Aubrey Fine is the author of, among many other books, Our Faithful Companions and the Handbook of Animal Assisted Therapy. You serve on many boards of directors. I'm involved with Pet Partners because of you, an amazing organization. I will tell you, here's what happens. Right now we're talking from the convention of the American Veterinary Medical Association in Indianapolis. On the airplane on the way here, there were a lot of people, and there was one dog. There was one dog that was a service dog or a comfort dog. Because when you talk to the owner said, I have a comfort dog. And I did talk to the owner. So which dogs are allowed where? What do all these terms mean? And I also want to talk about, well, are these dogs really who they say they are? You know, and it's a big topic now, particularly for the airline. So I think we begin with a definition of terms.
Sure. And, you know, Steve, thanks for asking the question, because I think what's interesting is the recognition that today, more than ever, people are greatly appreciating the therapeutic value of animals in our lives. That being said, what we're seeing today is somewhat of a misuse of terminology by folks. So when we're looking at what I would call working therapeutic animals and then the laws that cover them, number one, they're service animals. And service animals, you think of guide dogs, mobility dogs, seizure alert dogs. These are dogs that have jobs that specifically are geared to support the lives of people with disabilities. Those animals are protected by the American Disability Act. Therefore, their ability to go into any environment with that person is fine because it's covered under the law.
As it should be.
Correct.
If they really do what they say the owners, you know, and which we'll get to.
Correct.
Okay, so what is a comfort dog?
Okay, so the two dogs, the two work categories of working therapeutic animals, one are therapy animals. And therapy animals, again, provide services for others. In some cases, some people look at them as comfort dogs. You see them at airports helping. You see them in hospitals, schools. I personally have therapy animals in my own practice. These are dogs that should be registered, basically have meet standards of good obedience training, are affiliative in nature, meaning they want to be with people, and they're really consistent in their behaviors.
And hopefully certified to go into a facility.
Correct.
By organizations like Pet Partners.
Correct. And yeah. The interesting part, as we'll continue on, registered therapy animals are not covered by any laws. So in reality, when I take a therapy animal into a school, into a hospital, they allow the access because they recognize or appreciate the therapeutic value of animals, but they're not protected by under any laws. So the other working therapeutic animals that we could talk about are a group of animals called emotional support animals. And in some ways, I think the term emotional support animals really stem from some of the early research that shows that animals in our lives can provide a level of support from stress, from anxiety. So there have been individuals that basically say they need animals in their lives, their specific animal, who may or may not be as well-trained as a level of support for them. These animals are qualified and are under two very specific laws. One is the Fair Housing Act, which basically allows a person access to their home if, in fact, they have a letter of verification that says that that animal is an emotional support animal. And there's the Air Carrier law that basically the air carrier law suggests that they can bring the animal on the plane, and it's specifically a dog that we're really talking about because it provides that level of emotional support. But as you had just alluded, the real challenge is the fraudulent use of this category, and for that matter, people fraudulently saying that their animal is a service animal, and he or she may not be. And unfortunately, the fraudulent use of these terms has caused the public to be very, very judgmental on this. And I think what we need to clarify are better guidelines that allow people that need emotional support animals legitimately and service animals to get the credentialing that they need so that they can access these animals more freely. The part that we need to recognize is that the laws only protect emotional support animals at homes and on planes. Other places just are not under that jurisdiction.
All right, Dr. Aubrey Fine, thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Your phone calls next, 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today.
800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio. Biz Talk Radio. This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Our telephone number, 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. Mary in California, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I own a miniature Australian Shepherd, whom I love to death.
Oh, my goodness. Hold it. Stop the presses. A miniature Australian Shepherd.
Yes. We just moved, so I used to have a quarter-acre yard, which she used to run around. He used to run around all the time. And now we moved into probably a quarter of that size of a yard. And I have a medical issue that doesn't allow me to walk him like I used to every day for 2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of concerned about him and his exercise, and that's my one issue, is that, you know, he's not getting enough exercise, I feel bad, and, you know, I kind of want him to be able, he runs around when he sees a plane, you know, he chases it all over the little yard, and he has a little toy that he runs after all the time, but I just don't know if that's just enough.
Okay, that's one question. What's your second?
He has three terrible spots that he's peeing on all the time.
Three what that he's peeing on?
Three spots. Like he's
three spots, okay.
Yeah, by my front door, by my front gate, and this other little spot. And each spot has become a nuisance because we can't even open the door without there being pee there. So
now this is on the outside of your house or on the inside?
Oh, outside. He's an outside dog.
Okay. Oh, okay. So he's peeing in these spots outside. Well, all right. So that's the second question. Is there a third?
No, that's pretty much
okay.
It.
Okay. Why? Let me. I'll get to the first question in a little bit. But why about the exercise? Why does it bother you? I don't understand. If he's outside, you know, dogs are going to create their bathrooms, and
right.
and going to consistently. This is what makes them so easy to house train in the first place. They like to piddle in the same spot all the time, and or on the same substrate, which matters even most. So people come to New York City for the big Westminster dog show, right? We've seen that on TV.
Yeah.
And they live out in the farm somewhere, and their dog, of course, most of our dogs pee on grass. Well, they can't find grass because they're in Manhattan. They have to walk for blocks and blocks and blocks. And New York City dogs, many of them are trained to pee on concrete. And it's that way in other places around the world, too. So it's the substrate that matters as much as the location. But dogs do like location, 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 and your dog's just doing what dogs do by piddling in a designated by your dog spot. So why is this a problem for you?
The problem is that my husband is getting annoyed because it's right where people walk through. There's always a spot. So it's not like it's just anywhere in the backyard. It's just these three spots. So I'm trying to divert him to not pee there anymore and maybe get him to pee somewhere else. So I'm trying to figure out how do I get him to not pee in those three spots and go find somewhere else to go pee because it's becoming a nuisance where it's like right at the front gate where people walk in, right at the front door where people walk in, and it's starting to smell up our patio.
Okay, so what you could try to do, I mean, your dog is then going to go to another spot and that'll become sort of smelly anyway. You know,
yeah.
I mean, so a part of the answer to all this goes actually back to your first question about getting your dog out of the yard.
Mm-hmm.
To pee in other places. Do you live in a rural area?
No.
Okay, so
I'm in a very busy area.
Oh, good. Okay. So one thing you can do, which will help with the exercise component of things too, is to hire a dog walker.
Okay.
Or to have a relative or friend or a niece or a nephew or somebody able to walk your dog. Now, not only are we getting exercise, not only are you're enriching your dog, there's nothing more enriching for a dog than sniffing the 411 on every other dog on another lawn, or a fire hydrant or a signpost for a dog. That's the most exciting thing to do on the planet. But in addition to that, if your dog piddles a couple times on that walk, your dog is piddling at least a bit less in the yard right there. So that's a win-win, if you will. So that's one thing I'd consider doing is having someone once a day take your dog for a walk. We're talking about exercise enrichment, and your dog will pee on that walk in all likelihood. So that means less pee in the yard. The other thing I would do is in a place or two that most bother your husband and you, where your dog is peeing, say at the entrance of the yard, then put something over that your dog will unlikely pee on. It could be, depending on your dog, it could be a wood board. It could be just be creative. Think of whatever you can or go to Home Depot and get something, anything to put over that spot. Big enough, it could be a welcome mat. Big enough, but a plastic one.
Okay.
Big enough where it covers the entire area of grass. I'm assuming it's grass that your dog is peeing
on. No, it's not even grass, it's cement.
Okay, so to cover that entire area of cement.
Okay.
I would try that. You know what? And I use the word try and emphasize it because if you're not there to show your dog what to do, your dog doesn't know what to do. So when we talk about house training dogs, for example, the rule is to go out with your dog, reward your dog at the right time. You've heard this all before and probably did this yourself when you house trained your dog to go outside. But because your dog is greatly outdoors, you're not there and your dog is just making decisions based in part on what your bladder wants the dog to do and in part based on dogs just being predisposed to go to the same place all the time. That's one of the reasons, as I say, why it's so easy to house train them. So you're kind of fighting against the fact that you're not there. I do have a question for you. Why is your dog, I know you live in California. I know I'm jealous going into the cold weather in Chicago, But still, why is your dog outside so much? Why don't you bring your dog in?
He comes in sometimes, but he's an outdoor pet. That's just, my husband's not a dog guy, so he doesn't really like the hair. He sheds a lot. No, he doesn't shed a lot.
He's a miniature Australian shepherd. He doesn't shed a lot. What they do is they blow their, and you know this, they blow their coat, but I'm not buying your husband. They blow their coat a couple times a year, and they're small dogs, so there's not a lot of hair. So, no, they don't shed a ton.
Well, so that's why. So he comes in to play with the kids. I let him come in and play with the kids at least once a day, and but he sleeps outside, and, you know, I usually send the kids out to play with him at least once a day.
How old are the kids?
9, 11, and 13.
Well, couldn't the 13-year-old also be a dog walker?
Yeah, she is going to start being a dog walker.
Okay. All right. So I hope I helped you at least a little bit.
You did. You did. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a pleasure for you to contact. It's a pleasure for me, and I'm glad you contacted us. Thank you, Mary.
Yes.
Coming up next, our email question of the week. You can email me, steve@petworldradio.net. This question is about a cat named Sneakers who is living up to his name. Next. It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry, a new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait, vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
Last night I had a nightmare. It started out real nice. I walked out of my doggy door into this amazing backyard. Tennis balls growing on trees, a kibble fountain, a chew toy garden. Then I heard voices calling my name.
Here, Winston. Here, boy. We need you.
The cries were coming from way down in the grass. Then I heard, yummy, let's eat. That's when I looked down and my tag no longer said Winston. It said dinner.
Don't let your dog become a meal for hungry parasites. Get the unmatched protection of Vectra 3D. Vectra 3D quickly repels and kills fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, and other parasites. It's got more kinds of protection than any other flea and tick brand. And you can only get Vectra 3D from your veterinarian.
Those fleas and ticks were staring at me like I was a big juicy steak. I woke up crying like a show dog with a bad haircut.
Please don't feed the parasites. Visit your veterinarian for Vectra 3D and get up to $25 in savings with purchase. Visit VectraPet.com to learn more.
Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, wildfires. It's a dangerous time of year. Planning ahead and having your pets microchipped could save their lives. Help protect your pets by visiting the veterinarian before storm season gets underway for a simple and inexpensive procedure to implant a microchip. Then your pet's microchip number and your contact information must be enrolled in a national secure recovery database such as Home Again. Safety for your pets and security for you. Please visit homeagain.com.
The only radio show for the whole family that often advises using toys with feathers.
I miss my little kitty cat.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Last week on the show, I forgot to say this, and I feel badly about this, because the American Veterinary Medical Association convention, something I attend every year for 20 years now or so. What? Yeah, 20 years, something like that. I had the distinct honor, I think there have only been 12 winners, 10 winners of this award, maybe even fewer. It's called the American Veterinary Medical Association Humane Award. And it's the only award that they give to a non-veterinarian. And it's for service to pets, but also people that through their advocacy have made a difference. And I'm honored to say I did receive that award some number of years ago, was the youngest person ever to receive that honor. And as a former honoree, I was asked, because I know the person very well who was honored this year, if I could introduce her. And I did just that. Joan Miller received the award. And she has done so much for cats. She was, for many years,
involved with the Cat Fanciers Association. She still is. She was the past president of the Wynn Feline Foundation that raises money for funding for cat health studies. She created the Wynn Feline Symposium. She has contributed to all sorts of academic books, popular press books, magazine stories about cats. I mean, I'm just touching the surface as to what her contribution has been and the difference she has made. It's been an honor to know her, and it was a great pleasure to be there along with Dr. Brian Holub to help give her the award. Coming up next week on the show, a conversation with Dr. Cynthia Otto. You won't believe the contribution she's making. You know that dogs can identify cancers. I've talked about that. It's been in the press. And there's six, maybe, cancers that have been confirmed by science that dogs can absolutely identify. Likely the number is far greater than six, but six have been studied. So what do you do with that information? It's nice. And for individuals who say, and they do all the time, they show up at a doctor's office, my dog told me to come, you know, because the dog's been sniffing incessantly in one place, and people sometimes listen to their dogs. They're very smart to do so. And cancer's been caught that way in many, 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 many people all over the world. But for the greater good, we're not going to go to a doctor's office and see a dog. I mean, I wish that were the case, but I don't think that's happening anytime soon, where our friends in Washington, D.C. are going to say the dog will be paid for by insurance that will help diagnose cancer in patients. It's just not going to happen, right? So what do you do with this? So what? Dogs can do this. Now what? Well, Dr. Cynthia Otto has a now what. She is close to... So dogs, when they identify cancers, are really identifying various chemicals. And she says if we can figure out which chemicals they are, and she's in the process of doing that and succeeding, then we will be able to have a blood test for cancers there has not been a blood test for, and better earlier diagnose cancers like ovarian cancer, which is typically diagnosed at a later stage, which often then is not good. Diagnosed earlier, your chances are far greater of overcoming the disease. It makes all the difference in the world. And she's close, and we'll talk to her next week.
Great simple words.
You got mail.
Woohoo!
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.
Dear Steve, Sneakers, our cat, is living up to her name. She was adopted about 4 years ago. She was then your average cat. She was concerned about visitors, but she'd hang out in the same room and eventually warm up to them. Over the past few months, she seems pretty aloof with strangers and cautious around other family members, and it's getting worse. Do you have any advice? Well, cats anytime, and dogs too, or any pet, anytime you note a change in behavior, see your veterinarian. Now, I'm not sure how old this cat is, except that the cat was adopted over 4 years ago, but I don't know if it was adopted as a kitten or adopted as an older cat. I have no way to know that. This could be a sign of what I talked about last week on the show, actually, feline cognitive dysfunction syndrome, which is like Alzheimer's in cats. But it may not be anything like that. It could be, though, that something is medically going on with your cat. Anytime, for example, if you have a cat that sleeps with you every night, now your cat doesn't, there might be all sorts of reasons for that. I mean, maybe your bed is no longer a warm place to be, or maybe the cat heard a loud noise in the middle of the night one night, or maybe cats being cats for reasons we'll never know just decided that chair in the other room is just a better place to be. However, anytime you note a change in behavior, it's a reason for concern. So the first thing I definitely would do is talk to your veterinarian. And frankly, I'm willing to bet something is going on with your cat medically. I don't know that, but that's my guess. You can email me your questions, steve@petworldradio.net.
Your calls are always welcome on Steve Dale's Pet World. Dial us up at 866-554-PETS.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-706-6897. 800-706-6897. This is an advertisement. Paid not attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Officially sanctioned by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
This is Vets on Pets.
That's where Steve talks to the vets about your pets.
Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit.
Veterinary behaviorist Dr. Kirsty Sexel is here to talk about a topic that's really important to me. I think there are so many misconceptions about cats, and even the way in which we bring up cats and routinely interact with them in our home. Here's what I'm talking about. Cat jumps on the table. We don't want the cat on the table. We think, cat, you know better than that. You're 8 years old. I've been telling you this for 8 years. We grab the cat by the scruff of its neck, might even turn it upside down or try to. The cat's going, and then we yell at the cat, maybe our face and the cat's face. put the cat back on the ground. The cat runs off, and we think, well, we've done our job. Of course, 2 days later, the cat's right back up on the table. Maybe you haven't done your job. So is this the right way to respond?
Well, I think if you've been doing it for 8 years, you're a slow learner. That's all I can say.
Exactly.
You know, if you're trying to teach something, theoretically, you should only have to do it once or twice, especially if you're using reinforcement. And if you don't want the cat on the table, well, where else has it got to go? It's really important. Cats need three-dimensional vertical space, and if the only space they've got is the table, that's where they're going to go. So redesign the house, rethink how you're doing things with your cat.
So let's talk about how we do things with our cats. So in that scenario, one of those topics I said was scruffing the cat. We can get them that way. We can pick them up that way if we hold them by the scruff of their necks. What are we really communicating to them?
That you don't really know what you're doing. I don't see why we scruff cats. I haven't, in general practice, when I was there last millennium, tells you I've been doing it for a while. It makes me feel very wise saying that. To be honest, I haven't scruffed a cat in general practice for a long time, and I certainly don't scruff them in specialty practice in behavioral medicine. We don't need to do that. Cats don't do it to each other. We do a lot of things to animals because we can. And why do we do it? Because we've got opposable thumbs. We can do things because we can. They can't do it. It doesn't mean the same thing to them in any way, shape, or form. So there's no reason to scruff the cat. If you want the cat off the table, you can just pick it up, scoop it up, put it on the ground. No need to be nasty. No need to be sort of vindictive about, I've told you this already. Or else lure the cat off the table. Put some nice treats on the floor so the cat actually comes down. But remember, for cats, vertical space is actually more important than horizontal space. So for them, it's safer to be up the top. It's safer for them to look down on things. And that's why they're on tables, on fridges, on cupboards, all the places we don't want them to be. So it's because we've designed our houses for us, not for them.
How about punishment, which goes along the lines of sort of what we're talking about?
Yeah, I don't really see the need for punishment at all. Punishment happens anyway. You know, bad stuff happens in your life whether you want it to or not. Why go out of your way to put bad stuff in it? If you want to build a trusting relationship with another person or with another animal, punishing them all the time doesn't build that trust, doesn't build that companionship that we're looking for. So, you know, I don't think there's any place for us to administer punishment because the world does that anyway.
I think also you're impacting the bond you have with those you live with, particularly your pets. And, you know, dogs are, I think cats are forgiving too. I think amazingly forgiving. I don't think that we give them credit. So when people are out there saying, well, dogs are forgiving, cats are not, I think that's rubbish.
Well, I think all animals are much more forgiving. I mean, we don't forgive them as much as they forgive us. When they do something wrong, it's like they're bad or nasty or evil or mean, and you're really doing it to get back at me. Whereas I don't think that at all. I think they just say, well, you haven't worked it out. I'll work another way to communicate with you. And, you know, I think dogs forgive us much more than we forgive them. I think cats, more to a different degree, I think they're different ways of doing things because they have different social systems. And I think that's part of the important thing is to recognize that we understand their social systems not as well as probably they understand ours. And if you think about cats, they've developed a whole language to talk to us because we aren't smart enough to read their language. So they have a whole body language that they only use with humans, they don't use with other cats.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think it's fascinating that your own cat has a language to speak to you that it doesn't use with any other human. So your cat's actually sat down and worked out, Steve Dow, he's an interesting character. How am I going to deal with him? So your cat works out how to deal with you, and that cat wouldn't communicate with me in the same way. And they certainly don't, or other cats.
Yeah. Are there some specific examples of that?
No, I think every owner knows their own cat. They can read their own cat's body language. They can tell what sort of every noise they make means, and that's because the cat's worked out which one will work for you, because the noises that one cat might make to one person doesn't have an influence, but they certainly work out how to push our buttons and make the noise that influences you.
And often, I don't know why, it seems to be at feeding time. I must be coincidence.
Yeah, I think that's more coincidence. I think, you know, and a cat's grazers, they like food all the time, but if they want something special, they know how to get your attention.
And they know how to get it.
They do indeed.
They do. Dr. Kristi Sexel, veterinary behaviorist, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Steve.
Coming up next week, a link between ovarian cancer symptom awareness and our dogs.
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.
Be good to your pets, they'll be good to you. We'll talk to you next time.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, Call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC.
Biz Talk Radio.